Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Abilene, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook.
You are my sunshine, my only.
This is Kyla Carter of Kyla's Corner. You can hear my segment every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Mark White Show. Remember to tune in every Saturday and always live life sunny side up.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Something good today.
The story of America is one of people who have made their dreams come true by realizing that the time for action is always now. It began with 13 colonies in their battle for independence, and then westward expansion, an industrial revolution, the building of a great nation, and finally, America's ascendance on the world stage. At every point, the time was now. A general falls to his knees in the hard snow of Valley Forge. A lonely president paces the darkened halls and ponders his struggle to preserve the Union. The men of the Alamo call out encouragement to each other. A settler pushes west and sings a song, and the song echoes out forever and fills the unknowing air. It is the American sound. It is hopeful, big-hearted, idealistic, daring, decent, and fair. That's our heritage. That's our song. We sing it still. For all our problems, our differences, we are together as of old. We raise our voices to the God who is the author of this most tender music. And may he continue to hold us close as we fill the world with our sound in unity, affection, and love. One people, under God, dedicated to the dream of freedom that he has placed in the human heart. Called upon now to pass that dream on to a waiting and a hopeful world. Ours is the land of the free because it's the home of the brave. What kind of people will we be 40 years from today? May we answer free people, worthy of freedom, and firm in the conviction that freedom is not the sole prerogative of a chosen few, but the universal right of all God's children. This is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, set forth in 1948, and this is the affirming flame the United States has held high to a watching world. We champion freedom not only because it is practical and beneficial, but because it is morally right and just. All of us have been laboring in the name of that dream. Today, let us rededicate ourselves to that great work. Yes, we'll suffer setbacks, and yes, others will do all they can to place obstacles in our path. But if we have the courage to do all that we can to make our dream come true, then we will achieve great good in this world, and we'll do our duty to our fellow men, to our beloved country, and to our God.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show and the Mary Fay Hedrick Good Deed segment. I am your host, Mark White. You have heard her before here on The Mark White Show, Tara Ross. She is my go-to history queen. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Tara Ross.
Thanks for having me again.
It's always great to have you, and I love history. That's one of the things about Mark White that maybe a lot of people don't know, but I really enjoy reading history. It was a subject that I enjoyed in school very much, and it's one of those things, especially since I'm tied to an older generation being raised by my grandparents and my great-grandmother, that I have an appreciation for what happened during their lifetimes and even before that, and doing ancestry and finding out my heritage, and then also knowing about the history around us, whether it be for our country or somewhere in the world. And I know that you have a great appreciation for history as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you don't know where you've been, how do you know where you're going, right? And how can you learn from the mistakes of the past? But also, I think one thing that we're seeing happen right now is there's a whole generation that doesn't really know how hard previous generations fought or what they did or what motivated them. All they hear anymore is, you know, the early generations were bad because they were slave owners or they were, you know, name some of the shortcomings of the founding generation. I mean, some of those shortcomings are true. Obviously, we wish those things hadn't happened, but there was so much good to even it out. And how can you possibly go forward if you are steeped in shame instead of being proud of your heritage and knowing, look, that we can be proud to be Americans and we can take care of that even as we acknowledge the mistakes of the past?
One of the things that I had shared with you prior to this conversation, we were talking about the saying, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I told you that we could take it a different angle and say, how about this? Those who learn from history are able to improve it.
I mean, that's certainly true, especially if a lot of us know the history, right? When only a handful of us know, maybe that's a little bit of a problem. I saw another meme that was kind of funny, and it said, those of us that know history are doomed to watch everybody else repeat it.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, to some degree, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I think at some point you need a critical mass to know where we've been so that we can all learn from it and improve and when we're going forward. And our problem, right? I mean, the other day somebody tore down a statue of Ulysses Grant, but he, you know, was the Union general that won the Civil War and fought against the KKK. So it doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, I don't know why you'd tear that statue down, to be honest. But I think it comes from people just not knowing enough about the historical figures. And they just start to assume that anything about our ancestry is bad.
And you alluded to it, that we need to acknowledge those, especially who were making a difference during any period of time, who were the game changers. And when we had the Civil Rights Movement, it took a lot of those great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers that some people are wishing would go away to make that happen. It took those people to help the cause.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is how I kind of view America through the course of history. And I give this analogy sometimes. But the way I see it is people are just so angry. They're so angry at early generations because they think, well, why didn't you make all these improvements all at once? Like it was a sprint, right? Like it was a 25 whatever sprint, and they could do the whole thing in one generation. But that's not what it was. It's more of a marathon or a relay race. And so the founding generation, what they did was huge. I don't think we today in our modern mindset can fully appreciate what a big deal it was to separate from England, to separate from this idea that, you know, a monarch gets to tell you how to believe, or that you could be called a traitor for disagreeing with that monarch. Or, you know, I mean, religion, women, of course, weren't treated very well. Different religions weren't treated very well, like Jews were not treated very well. Or you've got slavery. It's a worldwide problem, not an American problem, but a worldwide problem. Our founding generation, they took the first step, and the first step is always the hardest. Any problem that you're trying to overcome, making the decision to break free, that's the hardest thing to do. Now, they did not solve all of those problems in the generation, but they ran the first leg of the race, and they passed the baton to the next generation, and every generation since then has taken things one step further than the generation before them. They have passed the baton to the next generation, and we can be really super proud of America because we have always improved. We have always been about more freedom and more liberty, and we have come to a place where now, you know, when we say, you know, all men are created equal, we recognize, you know, I mean, all men, because that's what was in the document, right? But when we realize it really means everybody is equal. When we say everybody is equal, we mean everybody.
Yes.
And it did take several generations, but that's not something to make us like shun the whole founding. That is something to say everybody did their part. Everybody took it a step further. And we can be super proud that America is the place where that happened.
As I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking about the word generations, if we really get down to the nitty gritty and think about the fact that in colonial times and times when we were breaking away from England, the life expectancy of these men and women was not very great. They did more in a shorter period of time where maybe they were dying at 45, and that was a ripe old age of grandpa at 45. The fact is that every generation has about the same amount of time, typically. They had one lifetime to do what they did, and then when that lifetime is over, it's over. Nobody had 200 or 300 years to help make a difference in our system.
Exactly.
One person didn't have that much time to do that. It was a short time to do it.
Exactly. In their relatively short lives, our founding generation, they made tremendous progress. And you know, talking about slavery, that's of course, you know, one major flaw of that generation, obviously. But even within that short period of time, as the founders were fighting the revolution, many of them were shaking off the global idea that this was okay, shaking it off and looking at it and saying, you know, this doesn't square. Like what we're doing, we're fighting for freedom, but then we've got these slaves. That doesn't make sense. And, you know, people like George Washington, they didn't know what to do about it. I think we don't appreciate that. I mean, they would have been looking at it and saying, okay, well, my slaves don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. They have, you know, what are they going to do? How are they going to support themselves? And it was just, they literally just didn't know what to do. And they saw that there was a problem that needed to be resolved. You know, so George Washington himself did start taking small steps to fix it in how he could. You know, he quit buying and selling slaves, and he kept families together, and he ended up releasing his slaves in his will. But he just, you know, I think a lot of them just felt a little bit stuck. Like, we can see that point A is wrong, and we're not sure how to get to point B. But, you know, some of them, of course, participated in writing the Constitution, which people don't know this all the time, but the Constitution was seen by many of them as a first step towards ending slavery. And the reason for that was because they had gotten these, so the Articles of Confederation had no provision to get rid of slavery, like ever. And it would have been much harder. But the Constitution, now it didn't allow Congress to address slavery right away, but it did provide that in the year 1808, Congress should start to address, because at that point start to address it. And there were men such as James Madison that touted that as a feature of the Constitution. He thought it would bring slavery to an end, you know, and that it, we had to, you couldn't do it right away because you needed to get the Union off the ground first, and you needed compromise and agreement by all of the states to make that happen. But he really thought the Constitution was going to be the foundation for getting rid of the slavery of slavery in the years to come. So again, I mean, I'm saying all this to say you got to go back and you got to look at what was going on at that period of time. And again, how much there was to do and how much they were fighting against global perception and global acceptance of this institution and the steps that they took. And then, of course, they passed the baton to the next generation, which took it further.
Of course, we have extremes in everything. We know that. It doesn't matter what opinion it is. There's an extreme view either side. For those who want to come together and unify and make a difference together, really, where is the middle ground, the happy medium for people to find peace with history and come together moving forward?
It's the same problem we have with everything, right? We're just not listening to each other anymore. Nobody's listening to anybody. And both parties are doing this. Both sides of the political aisle seem really entrenched on just proving that their way is right. As you know, I've written books about the Electoral College, and that's one of the things about the Electoral College that is supposed to do is to bring people together, to help them to figure out how can we bring everybody under one umbrella, how can we focus on things we have in common, not things that we have that we are, you know, where we have differences. The reason we've had close elections lately is because nobody is doing this anymore. Look, we're human beings. We're stubborn. Sometimes you got, what is it that Winston Churchill said? Americans will always do the right thing, but not until they've tried everything else first.
Oh, man.
So that's maybe true. That's kind of where we are. You know, we've been here before. We've been here with close elections where we were just, I've been saying in the years after the Civil War, it looked like a lot like this. Close elections, a couple of elections where the national popular vote did not match the electoral college vote, and so there was a discrepancy there, and you know, just anger and division, electoral maps that looked the same over and over again. We were stubborn for several rounds, and eventually the political parties realized the only way out of this jam is to figure out how to reach a to quit catering to our base, to quit just giving the people that already like us what they want, but to come remember there's people in the middle. Let's listen to them. Let's find out what they want. Let's find out what they're upset about. Let's figure out where our common ground is. And of course, eventually by the early 1900s, we had, you know, Calvin Coolidge, FDR winning in landslides. And it was because they finally figured out what they were supposed to know the whole time and what the Electoral College rewards, which is to listen to people and build coalitions. Being stubborn, we are doing everything we can to avoid doing the right thing, which is to quit catering to our base, to quit just feeding, you know, one side of the Republican Party or one side of the Democratic Party everything they want, but to come to the middle, which is where the vast majority of middle America is. And, I think there is lots of common ground. There are lots of reasonable people who will listen and compromise and work together. But we have to remember that's what we're supposed to be doing.
You gave me the perfect segue because your expertise is the Electoral College, and we have a big Supreme Court case coming up on the faithless electors. Let's talk about that when we come back. Will you stick with me, Tara?
Great. Sure.
Okay, folks, we're talking to Tara Ross. She is my history expert. I love talking to her. I love her analysis of history. And I want you to go to TaraRoss.com. I want you to follow her on Facebook, Instagram. I think that you'll be the better for it. You'll find more about history and the details and the facts, and then absorb that information and use it to make a difference in your daily life. Remember, life is short, and the opportunities that we find in these stories, in these messages, we can certainly make a difference in somebody's life while we're here. I hope you'll stick with us for the next segment. We're going to be talking to Tara Ross about the Electoral College some more, and we're going to be talking about a Supreme Court case that's coming up about the faithless electors. You are listening to The Mark White Show and the Mary Fay Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
Hi, this is Maddie from Mama Nims.
And this is Amy. Come on out to Mama Nims and have some ribeye steaks, hamburger steaks, pond-raised catfish, whole fish or fillets, made from scratch, homemade, the best in the world ever, apple pies, fresh desserts.
Y'all come by and see us.
Thank you, Amy and Maddie. I would like to encourage you to go to Mama Nims in Anderson, Alabama, 256-800-4003. Check them out on Facebook at Mama Nims, M-A-M-A-N-E-M-S. Just like Mama's cooking, we put the love in it. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
It's bow time. Down here, pimento cheese is pretty much its own food group. So when fans told Bojangles to bring back our legendary spread, we did them one better and also fired up a gooey, golden, melty, molten, pourable pimento sauce. So now you can spread it thick across your favorite biscuit, pour it over seasoned fries, stir it into mac and cheese, or dip supremes in it. Because with four ways to eat our pimento cheese, the recommended daily servings just became yes. It's bow time.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org. Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. I am your host, Mark White, and we have joining us Tara Ross right now. You can go to TaraRoss.com. You can find her on Facebook, Instagram. Find those stories and messages that she shares about history. I really enjoy it, and I know you will too. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Tara Ross.
Thanks again for having me.
So here we go with the Supreme Court. They have major decisions that they have made throughout generations, and one is coming up about the faithless electors. Give a background for that and what the Supreme Court is looking at when it comes to faithless electors.
Sure. Well, you guys may remember that during the 2016 election, there was a lot of fuss over several electors who were, they were trying to get Donald Trump electors to change their vote. So the electors that were creating the fuss were, had actually been elected to vote for Hillary Clinton. They were trying to get some Trump supporters to switch to a compromise candidate. And they just wanted enough of the Trump electors to switch so they could force a contingent election in the House or something along those lines. So, of course, you know, that didn't happen. And Donald Trump earned enough electors at the meetings of the Electoral College anyway. There were actually only two of his electors that ended up voting for somebody else. But some of these cases have been just still going, even though none of us have been paying attention to it, unless you're like me and this is what you do, I guess. But a couple of those were in Washington. The electors got fined for the way that they voted because they did not vote for Hillary Clinton like they were supposed to. In Colorado, there was an elector that got replaced and somebody else cast a vote instead. So these electors have challenged it in court. It's been working its way through during the past several years, and now it is finally before the Supreme Court. And the question before the Supreme Court basically is just, did these electors have the the authority or the ability to do what they did, to just think for themselves and to cast a different vote. And I want to preface though by saying, if the Supreme Court decides that electors have the right to be independent, which I will say I think they do, but if the Supreme Court decides that that's the case, this is not something to be afraid of, okay? Because that's going to be the first thing that Electoral College opponents say is, oh no, you need to be afraid. No, you don't need to be afraid. This is a very stable system that has worked for hundreds of years. There have been fewer than 30 indisputably faithless, quote-unquote, electors in the course of our history, even though there have been something in the neighborhood of 24, 25,000 electoral votes cast. This is not a, historically, this is not a problem. And the reason it's not a problem is because of the way that electors are elected. They are selected by the political party, and they, they want to cast the vote that they have been asked to cast. So it's maybe easier if I give an example. I'm from Texas. We have 38 electors. People don't always know that when I go to vote, when any Texan goes to vote, there are literally 38 Democrats, 38 Republicans. There are 38 completely different people who would represent third parties. These slates of electors have been submitted to the state. And so the state already knows who these are going to be. Republicans won the election in Texas in 2016. So that meant the 38 individuals who were Republicans, who were selected by the Republican Party, those were the people that were appointed to represent the state of Texas in the Electoral College. And every state does something along these lines. So these people, they're 38 Republicans. The reason the Republican Party of Texas appointed them was because they've been knocking on doors. They've been making phone calls. They've been raising money. They have been working for the party. And this is a reward for service. It's basically what it is. They get to go be an elector. So this is, again, in every state, you've got electors selected along a process along these lines. They don't want to waver. They do not want to change their vote. And that's why in 2016, those Hillary Clinton electors thought they could pull away support from Donald Trump, and it proved to be a very difficult thing to do. And in 2000, a similar effort was made to pull Bush electors away from him, and that didn't work either because the same exact dynamic. In fact, none of his electors were swayed at all. I mean, they just all did what they were supposed to do. And that's a big deal. Some of them were getting death threats, by the way. I mean, it was a big deal that they stood firm. This is a stable system. Now, the reason that we can still be okay with the fact that sometimes electors have the ability to be independent is you got to remember it gives the states acting through their electors a lot of flexibility if there's an emergency. That's really kind of how our Electoral College works overall. There's so much flexibility for, you know, it's not a simple democracy, right, as we all know, and this is one aspect of it. So consider what would happen if a presidential candidate were to have a stroke and be in the ICU, and maybe he's not expected to live or something drastic, okay? And it's after Election Day, but before the meetings of the elector. Now, without independent electors, they would be forced to cast their votes for a man who might pass away, or a woman who might pass away before the votes have been counted. Now, in that case, Congress, there's precedent suggesting that they cannot count votes that have been cast for a person who's passed away because they are not a person within the meaning of the Constitution. So literally, you would be forcing electors to cast their ballots to cast invalid ballots, basically. Now, wouldn't it be better for the electors to have some independence and to be able to say, well, no, I'm going to go cast my ballot for the vice presidential candidate? This has actually happened historically, just so you know. A presidential candidate did pass away, and his electors had to figure out what to do. That presidential candidate was on the losing side of the election, so it's a footnote in history. It didn't really change that much, but it is the kind of thing that happens. Or imagine if there was a Watergate kind of thing that happened after the election day, but before the meetings of the electors. What James Madison said about that was, look, it's good that the electors are a rubber stamp. And he liked that part of it. He mostly wanted electors to do that, just to act as they were expected to do. But he said it's good that in the case of an emergency, he said that they would be able to insert the second choice of the people in place of the first choice. So, you know, anyway, this is not something we're used to thinking about. It's something that we would hardly ever use. But it is something that James Madison considered a feature of the system. We know less about our electors probably than anybody at any point in history, pretty much, right? I mean, half the time we don't even know their names. I do think that if we're going to acknowledge that electors have this ability to be independent, at least in emergency situations, it would be really good for us to know a lot more about our electors. And I do think that's something states could work on, to be more transparent about this is how they were selected. These are the people before you. Maybe you can at least see their bio or something, right? And know what they're doing there. But that doesn't, you know, that's something that can be fixed. And it doesn't change what James Madison said in the early 1800s. He, again, was really happy with the way things were working out, that the electors had kind of turned into this thing where it's like most of the time they're a rubber stamp. They just do what the populace intended, but that they retain this ability to be independent if it is needed.
Well, and as you mentioned, somebody knows who they are if they're potentially getting death threats. So at the very least, we might need to know their names so we can protect them.
Yeah.
But we have to acknowledge and understand that there are people out there like that. And then we have to acknowledge and understand that there's people who are the opposite of that and that they're good people and they want to understand and want to improve our surroundings, our environment, our society, our community.
You know, I think to some degree, social media has done us a lot of harm there because it makes it so easy to kind of
dehumanize.
Like the opposite of personalized, you know, like
right.
you make they're just, and it's so easy to think somebody's my political opponent, they're evil. You know, no, they're not evil. They're probably a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother or a husband or a wife, and they've got a life and they're doing their best and they just happen to disagree with you and different things that are driving your decision. We've come to this place where like people just think if you disagree with me, you must be an evil person who wants others to die, you know, and that's not true. Never true. So easy to hide behind an anonymous name and just start throwing out like ugly language. And then you see other people doing that and it makes it, you take your next step further. I think we would serve the world a lot better if we could just all remember. I try to always remember, like if this person were standing in front of me, if I knew their name, if they were sitting here, we were having a, you know, cup of coffee or something, would I say this to this person's face? And if I can say this to this person's face, then it's okay to post on social media also. But I don't think most people do that anymore.
And you're making a great point when you say if this person, because it's not a group of people, it's not a mass of people, it's a person. And each person's life experience is different. And we have to come from that perspective that each individual, we can actually take an individual from a group, have a separate conversation, find common ground. And we can do that with each person as opposed to looking at this group or that group. There are individuals who make up a group and each individual's life experience is different from the other. And we've got to find the common ground on the individual level to be able to start to make a difference.
Absolutely.
Well, Tara, it's always a pleasure to have you here on The Mark White Show and to share your experience. And I do encourage people to go to TaraRoss.com, find you on Facebook, Instagram. What are some other things that you want people to do to plug into your work?
Probably my biggest platform, I guess, that I use is either Facebook or a little bit of Twitter or Instagram for sure. Of course, I have different usernames on all of those because I'm all messed up on that, I guess.
But, I think all of us are.
I just didn't get my act together in time, and now they're all entrenched. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But on Twitter, I'm just Tara Ross. On Facebook, I'm TaraRoss.1787. And I don't know why, but on Instagram, I'm TaraRoss.1787. So I don't know why, just not paying attention. But they were all, these accounts were all created so long ago. Realized too late that I'd messed up.
So if a young person is listening right now, they can learn from your history and be consistent.
There you go. Think about this early on. Be the same name everywhere.
Your life will be easier. It won't be so
Absolutely.
Rough. Tara's lived a tough life. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your experience. And anytime, you're always welcome on The Mark White Show. And I do really appreciate your perspective. And I hope you know that.
Oh, great. I so much appreciate it, and I'm happy to come back anytime.
You're welcome. Folks, we've been talking to Tara Ross. Check her out on TaraRoss.com. Find her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You got all the stuff if you listen to her, how the dots placed and not placed, but you'll figure it out. I hope that you'll listen to The Mark White Show next time. Coming up, we have, let's see, on Wednesday, I actually have Alveda King coming on, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. She's going to join me here on the Mark White Show. I'm not sure about Tuesday. I got to figure that one out. But I hope that you'll tune in next time. You have been listening to the Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I'm your host, Mark White.
I'm Kyla Carter, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Stay unique and find a way to make a difference that doesn't just impact you, but impacts others around you.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms. But when I woke, dear, I was mistaken. So I hung my head and I cried. Please don't take.